This is Kara Vandry of the Ashland City Library on May 12, 2020, and we are interviewing Jerome Berryman, owner of Bison Mercantile in Ashland, Kansas. And Mr. Berryman, you give us permission to record the interview?
I understand this interview is being recorded, and I give my permission.
Thank you.
Kind of a cool day, isn't it?
It's a lovely day. I should have made two copies.
Yeah, just kind of going down the list of questions here.
Okay, when did you first hear about the coronavirus?
Well, I kind of started to hear about it back in January, early January. I kind of seek news. I don't necessarily wait for it to show up. So I was familiar that there was something going on in China, and then there was something going on in Australia, and that's kind of when I started paying attention to what this was potentially going to be.
What was your first reaction?
Well, it was pretty unclear at first. There was just not much information coming out of really either China or Australia, since they were, I think, trying to figure out what it was at the time themselves. But it's one of those things where, this is something new, something noteworthy, and potentially rather dangerous, as it could be militarized, in which case we could be looking at something pretty bad. So I started really paying attention about mid-January and beginning of February, for sure.
What do you mean by militarized?
Well, right out of the beginning, there were suspicions that it had leaked from a bio-research lab. One of the things they were supposedly noted for was potential bioweapons. So, like I said, you plan for the worst, and I was kind of looking at that, and it sure caught my attention, that's for sure. You don't make those things for fun. Those are designed to spread quickly and do damage. So that's when I kind of started watching what would be going on in Australia. And it was about the end of January. That's when
I saw
Australia, they were starting to take it really seriously at that point.
When we think about the people impacted by this, who lives in your home? You have family?
Mm-hmm. I have a wife and two kids, 12 and 8.
Okay. Have you had to make any changes specific to who lives in your home? Have you had to change your lifestyle because you have children?
Well, yes and no. In a lot of ways, we were already prepared for it because we had just come back from a winter break. And traditionally, all those kids get together and travel the country and bring back whatever they've been exposed to. So we're already, keeping our fingers out of our mouths and doing that to begin with. And of course, it's chili season, so we're cutting peppers and stuff like that. And maybe I'm being a little funny, but not too far off. Because during that month of January, just a traditional exchange of holiday colds was canceling basketball games and knocking out a large percentage of kids out of school. So, in a way, we had already unknowingly prepped for being just that extra bit more cautious in how we handle our food, especially if we're having finger foods, pizza, wash our hands, all that good stuff. So,
okay.
We just kind of took what we were already practicing and tightened down just a little bit more. It was March when they started saying, take this seriously. We're going to start shutting things down because something's coming. We don't really know what it is. During the month of February, I'd spent a lot of time here at work just by myself because circumstances of life had already had that wheel of fortune rolling. But I could still eat lunch here at the store. As February went into March and things became a little bit more seriously, one of the things I did do stop is eating here at the store, just to be extra careful, keeping my fingers out of my mouth here in the store, just taking those extra little steps. Doing the 20-second hand wash at home when I got home. I was kind of joking around about making chili, but I think anybody who's diced hot peppers can attest that if you don't wash your hands for 20 seconds afterwards and you rub your eyes, you know it.
Yes.
Especially those of us with contacts. So that's a good time. That is a teachable moment, I think is what they call that.
So you already knew how to wash properly. Okay.
It had already been in practice. So.
Well, when we say, when did the virus first become real to you or start to impact your life personally, you're saying March?
March. In fact, I was kind of clonking around, half funny, half serious, that I was tired of the month of March because we've had such poor luck with it the last few years. But it really was March that things started to become real, where we started to consider supply lines and businesses being closed. Even here in Ashland, what they were calling non-essential businesses, which I really have a disagreement with that term, even though I kind of understood what they were getting at, the gathering of large groups of people. When we're talking about a respiratory illness, which could be incredibly infectious, and we don't know how dangerous, it made sense. So I'm not going to address that term at the moment. But things started closing down. People started traveling less, being more cautious, taking the extra precautions. And then, it was that first week in March when we first started getting into our fabric distributions. We have a fabric section here in the store. It is funny, because it was back in October 2019, we restocked our fabric section. And one day I was walking around, I was like, what are we going to do with all this fabric? And here we are, like, 6 months later, like, oh my gosh, I'm glad we have all this fabric. So that's when it really started to kind of drill home that, you know, that's, like I said, let's be safe and hope for the best. And it was about that same time period, we cut our own hours from 9 to 6 to 9 to 1 for a number of reasons. One, it was just me here at the store for a while. I was getting wore out. 9 to 6 without food is pretty tough. So I needed to eat. We also need to maintain the cleanliness of the store, restock the shelves. I needed daylight operating hours.
I can't make that. Okay, very quickly, sir. Why did you all of a sudden start selling fabric?
Because people needed masks. You know, suddenly everybody was out of masks. The N95, suddenly everybody knew what one was, but nobody knew where to find one. And fortunately, in our community out here, a lot of people still know how to sew. And there were a lot of people coming in and gathering what fabric and elastics and straps that they could in order to make masks for hospitals, for themselves, for people that they thought that were high at risk. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were just donating their time. We donated a lot of materials. In fact, we had a whole week there where anybody who was coming in and needed mask material, we donated. Mm-hmm. I know we didn't advertise that very much because there are people who do take advantage of things, and I knew the people who were serious about it and was able to make that decision. And fortunately, we had the resources to be able to do so.
Okay. Were there some things that were changing so gradually that you didn't notice what was happening?
Probably the depletion of the supply lines, because that's still going on and still kind of catches me off guard here and there. It's like, I can't believe we can't get that. But it wasn't necessarily gradual. It was just, it was slowly, and then all of a sudden it was gone. Elastic for masks. Freezers. Chest freezers disappeared quick.
Because everybody's prepping, or?
Yep. Not just that. It's something that kind of dovetailed with the price of cattle anyways. Is back in January, and I don't mean to pick out a couple of my customers or whatnot, but it's back in January. It's like, what are we going to do? Let's just go ahead and get the, you know, process the cow. Well, that didn't come due until March, and suddenly they're getting a phone call. Hey, this is ready. I'm like, oh, we need a chest freezer. But everybody else was getting chest freezers too, because everybody's preparing. You know, this, we don't know how long this is going to last or anything like that. So fortunately, I guess it was that first week of March. I was talking to our distributor, and we were kind of chit-chatting back and forth. And he's like, you know, I think chest freezers are going to be a thing. He's like, yeah, that kind of is already. He's like, you know, send me what you got. And he did. And we were probably the last one through the window to get chest freezers of any decent size, and that's really come to play. Especially if you look over there right now, I think I have like a couple 5-cubic-foot hobby chest freezers. Whereas,
and that's it?
I had started with 25-cubic-foot, 20-cubic-foot, all the way down the line, uprise, and that's what I'm down to. So that was something that kind of, it happened slow, and then all of a sudden they were gone.
I didn't think about freezers. Mm-hmm. Glad I got mine 2 years ago. What is your job situation, your business situation right now?
Right now we are just trying to maintain our inventory and provide a service, fill those needs of people so they don't have to travel out of town or wait 2 weeks or 2 months, depending on what they've ordered, for it to show up through the mail. You know, obviously, mail and shipping is very busy right now, so that's backed up even on a good day. Some of the major distributors, they said, okay, we're going to prioritize essentials. Everything else gets moved to the back of the line, and you'll get it when you get it. Well, that's fine until you start working from home and you realize that ink is an essential instead of a non-essential, because your printer is suddenly doing 50 pages a day, where we've been doing 50 pages a month. So people are running out of ink, but ink's not necessarily a priority commodity according to who you're shopping with. So, that's one of the things we were able to do, is help facilitate people going into their home businesses and getting that running. Among other things, like, homeschoolers, all of a sudden we need paper, we need pencils, we need all the stuff that goes into usually in a classroom. You know, people don't have that at home, especially if you have 2, 3, 4 kids. You know, suddenly you're restocking 2, 3, 4 desks. So,
are there any other items that usually you don't sell this time of year and you really see a surge?
Ooh, other than those mentioned, sold a lot of electronics, routers, mice, stuff that goes along, because these kids, you get these little notebooks, which is all fine and good until you realize that using that little trackpad can ruin your day. So, you know, we're selling mice, webcams. You know, ever since the webcam became a standard piece of equipment in portable electronics, we haven't sold one. And then all of a sudden we're selling them because people are trying to utilize these computers that they have laying around but don't have webcams. That was kind of interesting. Gosh. It's been wild. It's almost like week to week. Like people would spend the weekend trying to figure out what was necessary or what the next big thing is to gather, and then come in Monday, that's what everybody's going after. we'd be out. So, but we've been very good about replenishing or even having them to begin with. And if we didn't have an item, like always, we're pretty good about going out and getting them for them.
Let's hope we all take up fishing soon.
Fishing, yes, fishing. we're just about out of lures. I think we've sold more fishing stuff this last 2 months than the previous 8 years combined. And, you know, of the services, we're accommodating to our customers. If they want to shop curbside, yeah, absolutely. You know, whatever they're comfortable with. And I'll say it. Curbside shopping for fabric, that's pretty tough. Especially for somebody like me, who's like, you know, that's blue, that's blue, that's blue, and that's blue. And they're like, no, no, that's four different blues. It's like, okay, whatever. Here's blues and here's patterns. So, you know, I'm going back and forth. Of course, this is a half block every time I bring something out. It's like, is this one? Tougher than that is shopping for lures. Those guys get out there and they're looking for lures. It makes that fabric shopping look easy.
Picky, huh?
Well, I want something glimmery and kind of in the blue, and I want the two treble hooks and not four, but not too big. I'm like, oh my gosh. But it's fun. Like I said, I'm glad we have the options there for people to shop around for.
Mm-hmm. And lucky we didn't have to order it on Amazon and then wait 6 months for it to come.
Which was the case for a lot of things, yes.
Yeah. When do you think that we might get life back to normal, and why? Why do you think one time might work?
It's a good question. You still seem to be trying to figure it out. They can't seem to figure out if it was released in January or February, or if it was released back in October. And that makes a huge difference. It really does. But I don't know. I think people are ready to. I think at this point, people understand what's going on. I don't think you can find a single person around who isn't at least somewhat aware of what's going on. Even your old hermit in the cave, I'm sure, is been listening in and knows that, okay, let's be cautious, let's follow our rules, let's do the old chopped jalapeno drill where you don't stick your fingers in your eyes, your nose, your mouth, you wash your hands for 20 seconds. The mask, I understand that. Nobody likes to be sneezed on a good day, especially this time of year when we're talking allergies and all that anyways. We're talking about a bronchial infection, so, no, that all makes sense, but I also think people are ready to kind of, no, it's, I'm aware, I'm taking my precautions, so let's go play some golf.
Is that going to be our new normal, having to stay aware and keep taking precautions, or do you see that ending?
Well, I'm not much of a fan on that term either, and mostly because it's basic hygiene, that it's new is interesting, but I'm glad that we're coming back to learning not to pick our nose after using the guardrail at the grocery store. That's important. Washing our hands before we eat pizza, that's a good idea. You know, hot wing sauce, I get it, I'm guilty, but let's wash our hands before we start doing that. But I think it's just a matter of time before people kind of ease back into how it was, but I think it's going to be a while before people forget these lessons or re-lessons of the last 3 months here. And there's going to be some people who, and perhaps rightfully so, are going to want to err more on the side of caution than others. And, you know, we don't know if they have underlying conditions or presuppose or just don't want to get sick. I mean, who wants to get sick? But I think people are kind of getting the cabin fever and are ready to kind of start exploring and being around other people again. There just really is not a substitute for human interaction. As neat and as accessible as technology is today, there's just no substitute for it. I think there's just enough people who are ready, especially young and healthy. Gosh, I couldn't imagine being 19 and locked in my house at this age.
With your parents.
With the parents. Yep.
What is your reaction now to knowing about the virus? How do you feel about it? Are you afraid? Are you cautious?
And the next question is, how do I perceive how the last 2-3 months have gone by, and how do we go from here, I guess, might be the question. I think at first the shutting down was appropriate. I think that was the right call, especially when we're talking about an aerosized transmission. You know, it's by some time, find out what's going on. Like I said, err on the side of caution. Here we are, middle of May. It's hard to say that it's maybe not as dangerous as predicted. I mean, we just didn't know back in February what we were dealing with. I've said this a couple of times, you know, plan for the worst, hope for the best. Fortunately, it seems like we've fallen on hope for the best. Are there areas affected? Yes. You know, is it as contagious as people originally thought it was? Probably not, unless you catch it. If you catch it, then it's 100% contagious. Well, is it as deadly as people thought it was? Well, I don't know. If it sends you to the hospital, it's 100% deadly, especially if you die from it, you know. If you catch it, yeah, it's 100%. It does seem to be affecting certain groups a little bit more, which is not unusual for really any disease. The young seem to be rather resistant, where those of us who are older or have underlying conditions or cramped workspaces or whatnot, yeah, we're more susceptible. That's just how it is with any disease, especially a coughing one, an aerosol version. I don't know. I think in a lot of ways, maybe staying inside maybe is, I don't want to say part of the problem, but not part of the solution. You know, you go into a place and you cough, it just sits there suspended in the air. So getting outside and doing things, yeah, that might be the right thing to do. I understand there are some hot spots and places which we should look out for, especially nursing homes, as we should have been doing already. And they already had proper precautions. We're just tightening down a little bit more on that. Because they are susceptible. There's a reason why people are in hospitals. There's a reason why people are in nursing homes, is they are already afflicted with something. So yeah, that should be taken as an extra caution. Those people with lung conditions and all that, yeah, you keep your extra precaution. 18-year-olds going out and playing baseball, I don't see necessarily having a problem. You're outside, young, healthy, spirit of life right there. I think another thing people need to take into consideration in situations like this is morale. Morale has as much an effect on people's health as a lot of other aspects, even food, diet, rest. You know, if you're just sitting around feeling depressed, you don't feel very good. People think that they're sick when they're not sick, and then you convince themselves, and then all of a sudden they're sick, and nobody should be surprised why. I think, you know, depression, boredom, just what we call cabin fever. These are all unhealthy anyways. I think the more we just kind of keep clamped down like this, especially in areas which really don't seem to be affected, like these rural areas out here. I know we got some poor marks. I think that was mid-March about our own self-quarantining out here in western Kansas. And like, wait a second, you know, somebody could go check their cattle and drive 15 miles in a day and not see anybody else. But somebody in Johnson County might go a half mile to the grocery store and come in contact with 200 other people. I think at this point we know enough to not just blanket everything, but we kind of concentrate on the areas which do need help, and that other areas which don't seem to be as affected for whatever reasons can start loosening up. Going back to how we'd normally be doing our maize, and that's getting ready for baseball season and stuff like that.
You're ready for baseball to start.
I am. It's a sport I really enjoy, and I've watched both my kids and their peers, you know, grow up from t-ball. You know, I've been as much watching them for however many years now. My son, he's getting out of t-ball, so it's a community thing of getting to know each other's children, and I help coach. And it's just a sport I really enjoy.
Do you have anything you would like to tell somebody in 10 years about what we went through in our first pandemic?
Keep calm, plan, observe. You know, plan for the worst, hope for the best. Stay tight. Be good in your community. That's something that we've learned, was this 3 out of 4 years now out here in this part of the world with the Starbuck fire and the Oklahoma fire, and then now this. You know, how to come together as a community. Even, you know, you may have some disagreements, but when it comes down to it, I don't know, I couldn't be more proud of the people I work with and live around. Again, in these last 3 months, it's been really amazing.
It's good people.
It is. It's really good people, and a lot of that comes from how we treat each other when there's not a problem, and that's important to remember. So that when there is a problem, we come together.
Thank you, sir. Get it to go. Who would have thunk I could have two dry hands?